is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 176, stanzas 1 and 2. O God, to us show mercy, and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face. And what follows in 1 and 2 of 176. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the second book of Acts, the verses 21 through 47. 21 through 47 of Acts 2. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass, and that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, and that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, and that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who didst add unto the church daily such as should be saved, such as thou hadst decreed to that great blessing, Lord, we live with our children in that same time, and we need that same blessing. We have heard in these moments out of thy own word, and that thou art on the right hand of God exalted. And now, Lord, shall the devil have the victory over the hearts of men, when thou hast decreed from that never begun eternity, and when thy dear Son has been so willing to take upon himself the cross, and then even unto death, and when thou indeed hast declared it, Lord, that it is finished, oh, then we can read that thou art exalted to power. Oh, shall now then, shall Satan have the victory even over the hearts of men? For we are with our children born in sins and in trespasses dead. Oh, then he has brought that temptation to our first parents and was the instigator to cause them to fall into that awful death. And we are now his children, and so we are born. And Satan, he does laugh. Lord, oh, shall he laugh also concerning us and our children, and the power of thy Holy Spirit that is so very, very great. Oh, wilt thou not glorify thyself? Wilt thou not glorify thy own name, even in this day, that it may be evident that thou still livest, and that it may be evident that thy word is the truth, and that it may be evident even to us and to our children, and that this spirit that is as powerful today as it ever was, oh, that it may be evident in our very midst, and when thy spirit may come as in the days gone by, and when he would prick our hearts and give us to call out to say, men and brethren, what must we do? Oh, what must we do to be saved, to be delivered from all our sins and miseries? Oh, Lord, come then, glorify thy own name, glorify thy own work, bring it to fruition. And wilt thou give that it may be applied to us and to our dear children undeservedly? And wilt thou look upon us all together, and that these matters may not fall to the ground this day, and that we would leave thy house the same as we have come? Oh, that it may not be a mere matter of a natural instruction, instruction for our minds in all the historical things. Lord, they are important, but the work of thy Spirit to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Oh, that it may be thy word that may go forth to condemn us, as we have read it also out of thy holy word, that it was directed even unto that people, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Oh, then thy word did find its mark as a sharp arrow, he must cry out, I also have sinned against thee. Lord, remember us too and our children, because it is the first step. Remember all thy children, for they are not ignorant of thy own work. They are not ignorant of that true conviction. But then to see something of him who has paid the price, and by the power of thy Holy Spirit, to be led into that blessed mystery, how that we indeed can be saved, when thou wilt show to us our wretchedness, and then thou must also show unto us the way, the truth, and the life, because it is a supernatural work, O Lord. It is thy own work. It is not the work of a man. We beseech it then, of thee who art able, remember us then all together as we sit in thy house of prayer, as we bring thy word, as we hear thy word. Oh, put away that prince of darkness for a little while. Do show unto us that his head is bruised. Oh, that he may not have a place here in this afternoon, but that he may be made to let go of his prey, and that all things may be to the glory of thy great and holy name. Remember all the nations of this world. Oh Lord, it was in so many languages, in so many tongues, and so thou didst declare that it would go forth into all the world. Wilt thou look then upon those that do mission work in this world? Oh, that thou thyself may bless and sanctify thy word among Jew and Gentile. And wilt thou bring them in from the east and from the west? And wilt thou magnify thy word above all thy name? And wilt thou build thy kingdom here below, among all the nations of the world? Remember all that sit in places of authority. Oh, thou didst also command us to pray for them everywhere. Lord, we beseech thee then that thou would put down all the rule of Satan and bring thy word once again where it belongs, that word of truth may be our guide, and the guide of all that rule in the midst of this world for us and our children, that we may be given to live a quiet and peaceable life in all honesty, and that thou would protect us from the forces of evil, that do build themselves up also against the beloved for the Father's sake. Lord, thou knowest how that they are hated in the midst of this world. Thou knowest all the enemy, all the enmity, all the desire, that they would be completely annihilated. Oh, that thou mayst stand on the right and on the left, fulfill thy word, bring them in again, and wilt thou not leave us behind with our children. Take reasons out of thyself to look upon all the afflicted in the midst of this world. Wilt thou be with all those that are sick, all those that suffer from serious diseases, all handicapped ones, all the blind and the deaf and the lame, all those that are depressed and discouraged. Wilt thou remember those that mourn the losses of their loved ones? Wilt thou cause that missing to draw once again unto the true and the living God? Remember all that suffer from addictions. Lord, thou knowest the strength of the devil. Oh, that thou may uphold in mercy, and wilt thou give strength every moment. Thou who didst go even into the wilderness and dare to be tempted, or even to bow before him. Oh, Lord, thou knowest what it is. And wilt thou stand on the right and on the left, be with all that are in the prisons, innocent and guilty. Oh, supply for all those in the midst of this world and that are at war among the nations. Oh, help in all the needs, the cares, the hunger, the thirst, the wretchedness and the misery. Oh, cause this world to turn again. Remember us. Oh, help us in this afternoon. Lord, we are of yesterday and we know nothing. Open our mouth, open our heart for thy holy word, all of us together, and that thy name may truly receive all the honor and all the glory in the salvation of the souls among us. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 50, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Come, ye that fear Jehovah, ye saints, your voices raise. Come, stand in awe before him, and sing his glorious praise. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 50, and your last and the last collection today, is for the North American General Mission. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" That is, congregation, the search for meaning. What meaneth this? The search for meaning is not something that belongs to the inanimate creation. That is not something that belongs to that part of the creation that does not move. The mountains and the hills and the earth and so on. They know nothing. They cannot search and ask, "What meaneth this?" That search for meaning also does not belong even to the brute creation. Though there is in them life, and though there is in them even instinct, and that we are even able sometimes to train the brute creation, yet there is in them no ability to search for meaning. What meaneth this? That search for meaning is something that belongs to mankind. And that to show us to be the crown of the creation of God, so that there is, even in a natural way, an essential difference to be seen between the animals and mankind, and therefore proof, even naturally, of the great error of Darwin. What meaneth this? Even the ability to ask such a question, and that is showing something of the image of God in which man was created, that has in its narrow sense been lost, but in the wider sense, then there are still some sparks of that image left. What meaneth this? That is, living to a greater or a lesser extent in every person that is in this world. We can see that also in our young children, that they begin as they grow older continually to ask that question, why? And then it is not all directed in mankind unto the very same end, that search for meaning. For some that is very narrow, and for others that is very broad. And for one it is this thing, or another it is something else. But how is it now with us concerning the Word of God? Do we ask this also? What meaneth this? We read of Daniel that he saw the vision of God, and that he says he sought for its meaning. Do we do the same? Because that word of God that has very great meaning and very great significance for each and every one of us. Or that we would not find this out in eternity. What meaneth this? About what are they asking? We read, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? What is it? It is the fruit of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And we have begun in this morning to consider it in its great significance and in its meaning. And we wish to continue this in this afternoon hour with the Lord's help. Acts 2, the 21st verse. Acts 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pentecost. First, the end or the purpose intended shall be saved. Second, the persons affected, whosoever. Third, the means appointed shall call on the name of the Lord. Pentecost. The end intended, the persons affected, the means appointed. And this morning, we have taken up this first point, the end intended. What is it? You remember, children, shall be saved. Pentecost. When the last person, the third person of the Holy Trinity began his very special work. The Father decreed, the Son merited, and now together, sending forth that Holy Spirit to give the application unto that work, shall be saved. And there is no uncertainty. A triune God that is involved in and with the salvation of His church. And there is nothing that has hindered it in the past. And there is nothing that hinders it today. And there is nothing that will hinder it. World without end. But we have asked you this question. Shall that now also be for us a very pertinent question? Do we ever ask that question also? Because there is no greater question. There is no question that ought to concern us in our life more than this. What shall all our religion profit us if in the end we are not saved? And what shall it profit us if we gain the whole world and we shall lose our own soul? And so we have heard about Christmas and we have heard about the passion, about the suffering, the death, Good Friday, the resurrection, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they are matters and that are so important not only, but they are also matters that become so precious unto that true church of God. But it is possible, congregation, that we say that for us, that all remains so very, very objective. They are events. And those events, they have taken place. And we acknowledge them. We believe them. But actually, they mean nothing. They mean nothing, actually, for us. Or is that ever a burden to you? That you say those things which are so precious to God's people, those things that are so dear to their heart. All they are things that I must say, and they do not touch me. And they are things that I must say, and they do not impress. They do not touch my heart. Oh, did we now go on our knees on this day of Pentecost? In this morning, we know that the disciples, they have asked the Lord Jesus, he has promised that he would send forth his Holy Spirit. And we know that the disciples, they were gathered together in prayer and in supplication. And that the Lord, he indeed might fulfill his own word. Have we done so too? That we say, Lord, today now, Pentecost, wilt thou also prick my heart? And so we go now to our second thought. And what is it? The persons that are affected. Or do you say now, who are those persons? Or is it also now me that may be affected? The persons affected. Affected how? Well, what have we heard this morning, children? Shall be saved. Thus, what is about? Those persons that are affected, those persons that are saved, all those persons who are now delivered from the greatest evil, and that are brought unto the highest good. Those persons who may be delivered from sin, and that may be brought unto God. Those persons that may be delivered from that awful separation, and that may be brought again into that blessed favor and communion with the Lord. Those persons that may escape, that it may escape the awful punishment, and that may escape that eternal death, and that may escape that eternal fire, and that it may escape that righteous judgment of God, and that may be granted an eternal life, that may be granted eternal glory. Or are they not matters? Are they not matters that are sufficiently important? That our hearts may be concerned with these things? Are they not matters for which we ought to forsake the world and every former friend, and that it may be also us as a person that is affected in this way, and that we also may be saved? Or does it mean nothing to us? Or will we not ask that also today? Lord, what meaneth this? What meaneth this now also for me? It is a wonder that there is anyone that is saved. Certainly, there is no one in this world and that has ever merited this. That from which we need to be saved. Remember what it is, boys and girls. What is it? From which we need to be saved. That is sin. That sin that is a horrible deep pit. From which we need to be delivered. But it is a pit into which that we have so willfully brought ourselves, knowingly, freely. Thus, if we will speak in this afternoon about rights, then it is very clear that every one of us has lost our rights.
And that when we would say to be saved, that we have no righteous claim upon that blessing. Where have we lost them? We have lost it in Adam. We have lost it in our own covenant head. Or our responsibility always extends as far back as paradise. There we are responsible in Him who has represented us. And not only so, not only was it an original guilt, but there is, congregation, a free choice. A free choice that you and I do make every day and every moment in this world. And there is a free choice that does show that we are the sons of our father Adam. David says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, if there were any that did seek God." That is the Lord. And what did the Lord say? They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is not one that doeth good. No, not one. And thus, when the Lord would deal with us as mankind after our own desert, and then we would have to be cast away forever and forever. That is now what He has chosen to do with the fallen angels. There is not a single proffer of mercy to those fallen angels. But they are condemned in that just judgment of God. Oh, what is now the difference between our sin and theirs? What maketh us to differ? Are we better than they? So purely sovereign is the Lord. And so purely sovereign is His choice that He will give unto mankind what He refuses to give unto those fallen angels. Oh, how the people shall magnify Him for a never-ending eternity that cannot be comprehended here below. But the more their soul may enter into their own unworthiness, the more that they may taste a little bit of that heavenly bliss. Oh, the wonder of free and of sovereign, of unmerited grace. Or we say, the persons affected. No, not all persons are affected. Not all persons are saved. If we would go to the funeral homes of today, and then you would think differently. Man places his fellow man in heaven. Sometimes it seems every single one, regardless of their life. You would think there was no hell, or that there were, that is a place that is so very, very empty. It is not wise of us, congregation, to have any part of all that is taking place around us. Oh, let us not be affected by all of this. That will not change the state of our loved ones. No, if the tree fall to the north or to the south, there it shall be. And if we want real comfort, true comfort, that will not give us comfort. No, it may give a little emotion to those who go through a difficult trial. But it is no true comfort. Comfort that comes from another side. We read in God's word that man, he is a miserable comforter. But congregation, it is also a great undermining of God's word and of God's truth. The work of the Lord, if it is very clear, that may be acknowledged, but let us be wary of setting ourselves in the judgment seat of God. No, not all persons shall be affected. Not all persons shall be saved. Many shall be lost. And wide, the Lord Jesus, he says, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But they shall not all be lost. And why shall they not all be lost? You know that, children, we heard it, shall be saved because there is a triune God, because there is a decree, because there is the Son of God and a merited work, and because there was a Pentecost, because there is a Holy Spirit. You say, maybe, how many shall there be? There was once one who went to the Lord Jesus, and he has also asked him such a question. He asked him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And then it is true, we can read in the Bible something about this. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Isaiah, he says that though the number of the children of Israel should be as the sand of the sea, yet he says a remnant shall be saved. And yet what did the Lord Jesus say to that man? Oh, he said, strive. Strive to enter in at that straight gate. Why? Because many, many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. No, they shall not seek in truth, and they shall also seek too late. And when they are standing at that closed door one day, and then they shall not be able. Congregation, on the other side, what does our text say? Thus, we must always look on the other side. Systematic theology that is so very, very important. What is that? That is to compare the Scripture with the Scripture, and that we take not only one portion, but that we take what the whole Bible is saying about that one particular doctrine, and thereby we are not carried away with every strange wind of doctrine. What does our text say? It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thus it speaks about the persons that are affected. And who are they? Whosoever. What meaneth this? Whosoever. Whosoever, that is a word which speaks of the removing of bounds. It speaks about the removing of limitations. that it is not particular, but that it is general. Whosoever, that the limits are removed, that the restrictions are removed, whosoever. What does that mean then? Does the Lord then remove all of the limits? Does the Lord then say that everyone in this world will be affected? Everyone in this world shall be saved? That it is entirely without restriction? That is impossible. We have shown it already. We have shown how that it is not for those created spirits that have fallen from their first estate, but the Lord has withheld it and left that restriction in its place, that it shall be for mankind. And of men, how shall it now be with men? Are there then no restrictions for mankind? That is also impossible. Because what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, what then? Israel have not obtained that which she seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Thus, no, not every restriction is removed. There are limits. Those limits are the limits which the Lord Himself has set in His sovereignty. What are now those limits that are removed by the Lord in the word of our text that says, whosoever. Do you know that, children, young people? It is actually not so difficult. Because the apostle here makes a quotation. And he is quoting from the prophecy of God's servant many years ago, from the prophecy of Joel. And Joel was looking forward to what? He was looking forward to the time of the Messiah. He was looking for the time of the new dispensation, the time that the Lord Jesus would come. And thus, what does he say? He says, it shall come to pass. He says, this is now something that is going to happen in the future. This is now the way it is going to be when that Messiah comes. This is the way it is going to be in that new dispensation, in that new testament, when the Messiah shall appear on the earth. And then especially a Pentecost. And why? Because at Sinai, there we heard the Lord, He has instituted that a church of the nation of Israel. But it will be in the fulfillment of that Pentecost that the Lord is going to institute His ecclesiastical church. Thus, that church that is not confined to that nation or to the patriarchs or to individuals even, but it is going to be that church that will include the whole world. And then, he says, at that time, there will be, as it were, a new law that is given. What does Joel say, which Peter is quoting here? And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said. And in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Thus, Joel, many, many years ago, he makes a prophecy. And he says that that time that is going to be somewhat different from our time. And what will be the difference? He says that there will be a certain limitation and that is removed, that is taken out of the way. And what is that limitation? Well, that is the middle wall of partition. The middle wall of partition that was standing between the Jews and the Gentiles. So that the people of the Lord were, by and large, confined unto that Jewish nation, the Jews and the proselytic Jews. They were the ones that would call on the name of the Lord. But now he says it shall go to all nations. Thus, that is now the limitation that Joel is prophesying of in the future. Whosoever, that middle wall of partition. Thus, we see a widening of the administration of that covenant of grace. We can see little glimpses of this, even from the beginning. And we see that the Lord Jesus also in his own time speaks of it. And then his own disciples were very surprised that he was talking unto that Samaritan woman. And that woman said to the Lord Jesus, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you, Jews, you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Thus she says, how is that now? What is the right way? Is it now here in this mountain, or is it in Jerusalem? Where is the truth? Where is that true God? And what did the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus says, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh wherein neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall men worship the Father." He says, the hour cometh, and now is. Now is. What does that mean? That means the time that the Messiah is come. That is now. And that hour comes, and now is, when they shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, neither in this mountain, neither in Jerusalem, but the Father seeks such to worship him. What does the Lord Jesus speak of? He speaks of what is coming on that day of Pentecost. The Lord Jesus speaks about the removal of the old limitation. He speaks about the breaking down of that middle wall of partition. He speaks about whosoever. This widening of the administration of the covenant of grace was a most difficult thing for that Jewish church in that day to understand and also to receive. When Peter returned to Judea, after he had gone into Cornelius and his company, and then we can read that those of the circumcision contended with him. They said, "You have gone into one that was uncircumcised." And indeed we know that the Apostle Peter himself had to be convinced to go unto this company. You remember that, children, how that was? That the Lord showed to him a vision. And in that vision, there was a great sheet that was let down from heaven. And they were in there all manner of unclean beasts. And what did the Lord say? Rise, Peter, kill and eat. What did Peter say? Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that was common or unclean. And what was the Lord's answer? What I have cleansed, call not thou common. This was done thrice. And the messengers of Cornelius, they stood knocking at that door of Peter. And thus Peter may know from the Lord that the Lord he has cleansed. And he will cleanse not only now that Jewish nation, but whosoever. Thus there was a middle wall of partition, which the Lord was taking down. And that was not only for those disciples, but we can read that throughout the church. Because that middle wall of partition that was also found in all of the ceremonies of the Jews. There was a ceremonial law by which the Lord has shown unto his own people for all those years what was that gospel in the Old Testament. That was a division between the Jewish nation and the heathen, who to whom were not given those ceremonies. What a difficult thing that was now for that Jewish nation, when their whole manner of worship that was turned upside down, as it were. When no longer were men commanded to be circumcised as a distinction between that Jewish nation and all the world. But when the Lord sent his disciples to go forth and preach the word everywhere, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, that was equally between that Jewish nation now and the entire world. That was not only for the church of that time. That would be also for that church that would follow them. Thus we read so many times in the Word of God, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and also in the Epistles, that there is, as it were, an emphasis on this breaking down of this middle wall of partition. The Lord Jesus himself declared that he says, "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And we know that it was not each and every particular man in this world, they are not all Israel that are of Israel, that would be drawn unto the Lord Jesus. But he says, "I will draw those of all the nations of this world." Paul preached to the Athenians, and he said to them that the Lord now commanded all men everywhere to repent. He also wrote to Timothy, saying what the will of the Lord is, that the Lord will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. His will. What does that mean? Is it the will of the Lord that every single man in this world will be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? That would be to take away a limitation that the Lord, he does not take away. That would be to take away his own limitation of election. No, but it is because in that time it was so difficult for the people to understand that it would be no longer only that nation of the Jews. And that the apostle, he emphasizes this over and over, that the Lord, he will have all men to come to the knowledge of that truth. That is not only to that Jewish nation. John likewise declares that the Lord Jesus, he is the propitiation for our sins. And he says, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And we know what the Lord says in John 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In what sense does he now love the world? Each and every one? No. But he speaks about the removal of this boundary, this limitation. But they are portions, congregation, of the scriptures that are horribly abused in our day to foster and to build up an Arminian error. But their meaning that is so, so very clear. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Oh, that was an offense, actually, to many in the time of the Lord Jesus and the early church. And it is actually an offense that lives in the hearts of men in this world. The Lord Jesus, he tells us about laborers and those that had labored all day. They are offended. Why? Because those that had labored only 1 hour, they receive that same benefit. Whosoever, the Pharisees say, you sit and you eat with publicans and with sinners. Oh, that was the offense at that word. But congregation, when a person learns a little of his own unworthiness, then he is not offended anymore. Paul says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, that is a lesson necessary to learn for God's servants. Why? Because this word that needs to be preached by them, whosoever. Then you stand above no one. And then it is a great wonder if you are included yourself. Let us sing 201 and 2. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. 1 and 2 of Psalter 200.
Our last thought, the means appointed. The means for what? The means to come to that end. The means to come to that purpose. And what is that purpose, children? Again, shall be saved. We hope you go away with that in this day. The meaning of Pentecost, the end, the purpose, shall be saved. But now, the means. We have shown you something of the certainty. The certainty because it is a work of a triune God. And that is our only hope and expectation. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, He says that with men it is impossible, but not with God. Because with God all things are possible. But what meaneth this? What meaneth this? Does that mean that we are to be as stocks and as blocks in this world? Say, God has to do it. It is from our side impossible. We cannot do anything about it anyway. And so we shall sit back and do nothing. Is that what it means? God forbid. It is rebellion that lives in our heart. Rebellion against what? Rebellion against that sovereign goodness of the Lord. And if the Lord does not overcome this congregation, it will be our eternal damnation. Very little by comparison in this world does the Lord do without means to fulfill the ends which He has decreed. Does not mean He is not able to do it, but that is His choice. That is how it pleases Him. Thus, the very means that that church shall be saved, they are also decreed by Him. That is so natural. When we design something, we design not only that thing, but how that we shall bring that thing to pass. And now, if those means to those ends, if they are given and by the author attached to the end, those two things together, the means and the end, if they are attached together and we despise the means, then what do? Then we despise the end also. And then we can be sure that we will not be saved. Thus, what are those means? What are those means that the Lord, He has ordained to save His people? We read that also in our text. And it came to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We ask a question. Who does that? To call on the name of the Lord. Is that now the Lord doing that? Or is that man doing this? Say, that is simple. That is man doing this. How is that then consistent? How is that then consistent with that certainty that we have heard of? Shall be saved. Is the Lord then not dependent on that people to call upon the name of the Lord? Is the Lord not dependent on their will?
Is it not then just as the Arminians actually say that the Lord, he has to wait then for man?
Oh, the answer is no. Not in the least. Why not? Because where is the cause? Where is the cause of this calling on the name of the Lord? That does not lie in man. That does not lie in man. That lies in God. By Zechariah, what does the Lord say? He says, I will bring a third part through the fire. And I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord, he is my God. Oh, they shall call. Why shall they call? What does the Lord Jesus say? This is the same from Genesis to Revelation, all the same. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. They shall come. And why will they come? Because I will draw them. Oh, what man of this world has ever come and has ever sought after the Lord Jesus Christ of his own accord? Oh, read Psalm 107 and see what it now takes before a man will truly call upon that name of the Lord. Oh, they are at their wit's end. They are at the gates of death. Israel was in Egypt. Oh, did they call? Yes, they called. They called on the name of the Lord. How did that come to pass? Was that all of their own accord? Did that come from them? It's impossible. How do we know that? How many years, hundreds of years before, the Lord had prophesied it? Was the Lord waiting and dependent upon the children of Israel? No, no. But the Lord stirred up whom? Pharaoh. Oh, the Lord had to bring them to call. The Lord had to try them as gold is tried and to refine them as silver is refined. And they shall call. And they did call. Joel. We heard it already. He says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Thus, it is the calling of the Lord that is going before the calling of men. Man is not the cause. No, God is the cause. And when they call, then what? And when they come, then what? Or what does he promise? Or he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Who? Whosoever. Whosoever shall call on that name of the Lord. And what does Paul say? He says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The Lord, he will take care of this also when on Pentecost. And he will fit men for that work by the pouring out of his Holy Spirit. Galileans, unlearned, ignorant men, with cloven tongues, as of fire,
new tongues, given utterance by that Holy Spirit, tongues that may declare that truth to whom? That may declare that truth to whosoever, to Parthians, to Medes, to Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, and so on. All the signs, everything that is a testimony of the truth of that word of God. Or there shall be preachers that men may hear, and they will hear that call, not that general only, but they will hear that inward call from the Lord himself. And then they shall believe in him of whom they have heard, and they shall begin to call on him of whom they have heard, and so they shall be saved. Why? Because that word of the triune God that shall never return void unto him. Congregation, whosoever. Or is there a people for whom it becomes more and more impossible? Is there a people for whom that way that becomes narrower and narrower? Whosoever, not only the Jew, but also the Gentile, that has opened the way for us, that has opened the way for us. Whosoever, all that has opened the way for Gentiles, that has opened the way for publicans and for sinners. Go ye and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Whosoever. Was that ever a wonder to you? And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. The work goes on. Why does the work go on? Because Christ, he is alive. And he is sitting at the right hand of his Father. And then there is a continual commission and a continual sending forth of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. So they are calling. Oh, they are calling on that name of the Lord. And they are coming. Many. Many. From the east and from the west, that they may sit down with Abraham and Isaac in a kingdom of God. And now shall we, with our children, be thrust out? He will save. He shall save. A congregation. By what means? He will have us to call. He will have us to call on that name of the Lord. That is his ordained way. Oh, do not let him go, except he bless thee, that you may bless him all eternity. Amen. O Lord, give us to call, because by nature we will never. But when thou wilt have dealings, then we shall come. Oh, we shall come with weeping. We shall come with supplications. And then we shall be heard on high, so we can read it in thy holy book. Remember us, bring us safely to our homes. Give thy word place in our hearts. Prick our hearts. Draw us. We will run after thee. Help each one of us in the labors of our life in this world, that this thy word may be our thoughts and our meditations, that we may not seek all that is here below and passing quickly away, but that the treasure that is above may be the desire of our hearts before that it is forever and eternally too late. Look upon all afflicted ones,
For Jesus' sake, amen. 238, 1, 2, and 3, Zion, founded on the mountains, God, thy Maker, loves thee well. He has chosen thee, most precious. He delights in thee to dwell. God's own city, God's own city. Who can all thy glory tell? All stanzas of 238. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.